Welcome back to another edition of the Wobcast. I'm your host, Mike Wobshaw. Producer Mike Kears is here, and we are at Sports Authority Studios at Winter Park. The abyss of the offseason has begun. The offseason program, mini camps, OTAs, they're over, and now everyone is waiting for training camp. Our mini camp was last week. It was 3 days, concluded the offseason program, and there's a couple of takeaways that I took from that three-day minicamp and really from the entire offseason program, which spanned 9 weeks. And the first one was the development of Christian Ponder. Obviously, that's going to be a huge storyline for the Vikings in 2012 is his development, his progression. A first-round pick last year, played in several games, got his feet wet, and now this year his first full year as a starting quarterback in the NFL. I saw some progression from him during the offseason program, and it's not about progression from how he did last year to how he did this year as much as it is progression beginning in this year's offseason program to where he is at the end of the offseason program. And you normally see offenses start a little bit slower than defenses when you get to things like the offseason program and training camp because they're trying to learn this complicated and complex playbook, and they got to get to know the plays and get the thinking part out of the way before they can play fast. And that's what you saw with Christian Ponder. The first day, by his own admission, was not a great day. The next day was better. The next day after that was better. And I just think you saw Christian Ponder progress every day throughout the offseason program, especially when we got to that mini camp. And you saw him develop a rapport with Jerome Simpson, our new wide receiver. You saw the rapport he already had with Kyle Rudolph get even better. Jarius Wright and Greg Childs, the wide receivers that we took in the draft, they look good with Christian Ponder. John Carlson, the tight end the Vikings got in free agency, he's starting to get into the offense a little bit. And I just think you saw a lot of improvement from Christian Ponder. You see him able to bounce back from adversity. That's a key trait for a quarterback in the NFL to have, and I think Christian has it. So that was one of the main storylines I really liked about the Vikings offseason program and minicamp, was the way Christian Ponder was able to develop and improve. The other one, on the other side of the ball, our defense, is the youth that we have on defense. You have the mainstays there, Kevin Williams and Jared Allen up front. You have Chad Greenway and the second level of that defense at linebacker. And then, of course, Antoine Winfield, the veteran in the secondary. Those guys are your veterans, your mainstays, the guys that you can rely upon for a standard of performance every week. But after that, it's really going to be a young, inexperienced defense. And I think that cuts both ways. I think the downside to that is they're obviously going to make mistakes that are born from inexperience. It's just going to happen to players who are stepping into the NFL for their first season, or at least stepping into a prominent role for the first time. Josh Robinson in the secondary, Harrison Smith at safety, Robert Blanton at safety, even Christian Ballard and Everson Griffin on the defensive line, Chris Cook at corner. Those guys don't have a ton of experience yet, so you're going to see a few mistakes. But the key is, can they learn from those mistakes, which Christian Ponder has displayed an ability to do? And then the other key with having a young defense is they're going to be aggressive, and they're going to be active, and they're going to be athletic, and they're going to be running all over the place. And so you don't really know what the ceiling is on their potential. It's kind of unknown. So it will be fun to watch those guys develop, watch them develop some synergy, play well together. We're going to have a young, fast, athletic, I think a more aggressive defense in 2012. So that was one thing I took away from the offseason program. Now, one of those young defenders that I was talking about, middle linebacker Jasper Brinkley, he joins us on today's Wobcast, slated to be the starting middle linebacker, the quarterback of the defense. That's what they call the middle linebacker. Are you ready for that task?
Oh, yeah, definitely am. I'm always up to the challenge or whatever it is.
Have you played middle linebacker your entire football career, basically, or at least the significant part when you get into college and you're getting ready for the pros? Have you always been a middle linebacker?
Yes, I always have. And that's the thing that helps this transition be so easy, because I'm used to being in that role where I have to take over the whole defense and make checks and do everything that a middle linebacker is required to do.
There's a guy here by the name of EJ Henderson that we all loved, great player for a long time. I mean, what a great guy to be an understudy of, right? I mean, EJ teaches you how to play the game, how to prepare, how to act on and off the field, right?
Right. That's definitely one of the biggest upsides I feel like I had against any rookie that's maybe ever came into the league. I had a vet that took me under his wing from day one. And, you know, the thing about him, he's just a great person, great heart. And, you know, it definitely shows as you can see Some of the good things that I do is definitely because of some of the things that he's learned me. Yeah.
What are some of the things that you do well, Jasper, on the football field? If someone said, hey, you know, give us a scouting report of yourself and give us your strengths, what are some things you'd tell that person?
I know my strengths are I'm ferocious against the run, yeah. and I love to come downhill and get contact. My pass coverage is pretty good, but that's something that I definitely want to work on and be great at, because no one wants to work on their strengths.
Yeah.
You always work on your weaknesses. Yeah.
Do you get kind of sick and tired of that question? Whenever someone's really good at something, people then start to focus on the things they're not good at. And so with you, it's been pass coverage, because they see how well you play against the run, and everyone calls you a thumper. And we talked about this earlier in the offseason too, and I thought you gave a good answer to it. But so do you kind of get sick of people asking you that question?
Yeah, I definitely do, because if you go back to the 09 year, in order to understand what's the middle linebacker job in the cover two, which sometimes they throw a check down and it looks like the middle linebacker is late to the ball, so it looks like he's out of coverage, which he's really not, because you have to play it top down. So I guess that's what a lot of the critics, they don't understand about the Tampa 2. But, you know, I understand, and I just keep going. You know, I can't let it faze me, because as long as the coach is all right with it, I'm going to keep doing what I have to do.
Yeah. Jasper Brinkley, Vikings middle linebacker, our guest today. EJ Henderson wasn't short on critics early in his career either. I know you weren't here for that, but that might have been something that you and him talked about. A lot of people questioned some of what EJ did, whether it was his ability to play middle or outside. He had a couple of position switches, and he dealt with that very gracefully and obviously had a great NFL career. That's probably just one more thing that you can learn from him, right, how to handle that?
Yeah, definitely, because one thing he always told me is always going to be critics. And, and once you start to let the critics get into your head, then you're not going to be the same player that people know you for.
Yeah. You were here all offseason working. Things were going well. You ran into a little bit of a snag and missed some time. Right. Everything good there? I know you're working hard on that. Everyone else is gone. Not everyone else, but you're here working, man. Right. That's good to see. Everything going well?
Yeah, everything's going good. You know, I guess, you know, outside of the facility, you know, Viking Nation, you know, I just want everybody to know that I'm fine.
Yeah.
You know, it's just a little tweak here, tweak there. But trust me, I'll be ready for Mankato.
You mean you're not laid up in a hospital bed?
No, like, no, definitely not. Definitely not.
We're at Sports Authority Studios. We're not at, like, Abbott Northwestern Hospital talking to you.
Right.
Everything's going to be good. You'll be at training camp, right?
Yeah, I just came in from a workout, actually. So I'm definitely fine.
Yeah. What? Any big offseason plans? You've been here ever since minicamp ended, but you gonna do anything fun?
Definitely want to get back to Jordan and see the family before the training camp, because I know once we start training camp, that's
it's over, man.
Yeah, until at least week 11.
Yeah, that's right. It's over. Oh yeah, our bye week, a late bye week.
Yeah.
What do you think about that? What do NFL guys think about bye weeks? I mean, it can come anywhere from week 4 to like week 12.
Well, being a player, knowing how long the season is, I think our bye week is right at the right time.
Okay.
Week 11, you know, kind of gives you a chance to get refreshed again before you hit the last stretch of the season.
In our defense, you know, Alan Williams, new defensive coordinator, comes. I'm going to ask you about him in a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think we're going to change much schematically.
Right.
So for a middle linebacker, what's the responsibility of the middle linebacker, the Mike linebacker, in our defense?
Right. You have to have a demeanor about yourself being a Mike linebacker. You have to carry yourself a certain way, because you can't be a clown and expect guys to follow your lead.
Yeah.
Because you definitely have to be the leader, just like the quarterback. You know, Christian, you know, we look up to Christian because we only go as far as he takes us.
When you filled in for EJ when he got hurt at the end of the 2009 season, was that 4 games maybe?
Yeah.
It was, and then the playoffs. Mm-hmm. And you played well, and you stepped in and filled that role and were the middle linebacker, and you started.
Right.
Do you, as now, you know, you prepare for yourself to be the starting middle linebacker this season, do you look back on that experience at all, or is that so far in the rearview mirror that you don't really look at it?
I definitely look back to that experience, and because that experience alone was beneficial to me being a rookie, because I kind of get thrown into the fire. But each day, you know, Coach Pug always said, hey, you only play away from starting.
Yeah.
So, it definitely happened, and I took it. I didn't take it for granted. I seized the moment, and that's all you want is an opportunity.
Yeah. You like Coach Pugich. He moves back to your position coach now, from defensive coordinator back to being linebackers coach in that room with you. You and Coach Pug get along?
Yeah, we definitely get along. He coaches us hard, and, you know, with the addition of Coach Singletary, man, I have two great coaches. It's no reason for me to play subpar. There's no reason for me to play that. I have two great coaches. I think we'll be a Hall of Fame coaches. I definitely think that. And they drill us. They drill us.
Yeah, I'm scared of them. I'm going to be honest with you. I mean, you got Mike Singletary and the stare that everyone knows about. But right. Fred Pugich, man, you don't want to be on his wrong side.
Right. He yell definitely at you. Two fiery coaches, man. And just like to that? Be in my position, man, I'm blessed. I'm blessed to have those two guys.
Yeah. You're different guys like to be coached different ways, so you don't mind a guy – really giving it to you and getting on you and yelling and screaming. You don't mind that, huh?
Right. That's all I ever had. That's all I've ever had.
The guys that are playing next to you, Aaron Henderson on one side and Chad on the other, you feel like you guys have a pretty good trio in that base defense?
Oh, yeah, we definitely do. Shoot, as I think, since 2009, man, we've definitely grown as a unit. And, the door, as the NFL called the revolving door, guys come in, guys leave, and that's definitely what's happening. We've been fortunate enough to still be here. Yeah. So definitely have built a great friendship, great relationship, and definitely kind of get a feel for what each and every one of us is going to be doing on the field.
Yeah, you're listening to Jasper Brinkley. He's the guest on today's Wobcast. On our defense, we have a couple of guys who the revolving door hasn't come to them yet. Antoine Winfield,
right.
Jared Allen, Kevin Williams, Chad Greenway, right? Mm-hmm. Those guys are constants on this defense. But outside of those guys and yourself, a lot of young players,
right?
Some of them are new. Some of them are stepping into bigger roles. Look at Brian Robinson and Everson Griffin and Christian Ballard. And then you look at draft picks like Josh Robinson and Harrison Smith and Robert Blanton. Mm-hmm. That's a young defense, isn't it?
Yeah, it definitely is. But the good thing about it is have had an opportunity to see the guys at OTA and the mandatory minicamp. And they definitely looked good. And seems like they have their mind in the right places and just ready to play football.
You think that's important for an NFL defense to kind of have that mix where you have the veterans, the leaders, the guys who know what they're doing, but not at every position. At some positions, you have the young, athletic, new guys who are playing fast and they're not worn down. That's a good mix to have, don't you think?
Right. I definitely think it is a good mix because you always have your vets, and the vets, they're playing off their brain, their knowledge of the game, and you have the younger guys. And to me, the vets just keep order. They keep order in the locker room, and that's one of the biggest things, like having Antoine, a guy that's been around the league for a long time, and young guys coming into the league, they can definitely go up to him. He's approachable, talk to him, ask him about past situations, and he shed lights on.
We drafted a kid from North Carolina State, Audie Cole, that plays linebacker. Mm-hmm. I don't really know what his role is going to be. He'll probably play some special teams, but I don't know where you guys are playing him in terms of outside, inside, weak side, strong side, any of that, but just from raw ability through a few weeks of being with him, what have you seen from Audie Cole?
I think he definitely has a lot of upside.
Yeah.
When I look at him, he's taller, long hair kid, like the Southern Cal type of guy. He definitely have a lot of upside, and I'm just ready to see what he looks like once he puts pads on.
He's got longer hair than me.
Yeah, yeah,
and you
does.
Too, though.
He does.
College football, man, they instituted a playoff.
Right.
You read up on that?
Yeah, I read up a little bit about it. I don't know. I still think it's gonna be some critics on that too, because the team that
gets left out.
It's always gonna be a problem. It's always gonna be an issue with that.
Yeah. You had a pretty good college career. Any memories you look back on the most from your college football career at South Carolina?
It was definitely my first game, 2006, against Mississippi State. My first college career tackle. Quarterback broke out the pocket, and had my junior college on the sideline watching the game because I think they had a game in Mississippi or something. And
awesome.
Had the opportunity to make like a one of those stand up hits.
Oh,
like,
really?
Yeah.
Everyone gets up hooting and hollering.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
That's what you're known for, man. Yeah. That's why everyone loves you playing against the run, because you can come up and hit someone like that.
And that was crazy. Like, I always think about that. Like, that's what started it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I see you on Twitter every once in a while. I follow you. Tell people what your Twitter handle is so they can follow you.
At JasperHitman54.
There you go. You like being on there and interacting with fans?
Yeah, it's pretty cool. I've been used to having great fans when I was at the University of South Carolina, but it's nothing like Minnesota Vikings fans. I think we have the best fans in the National Football League.
I agree with you, man. They're passionate. I get emails from them too, man. They complain or cheer or whatever. Yeah. They let me know how they're feeling.
They're going to voice their opinion. That's great. That's always great too. They know what they're thinking.
Yep. They're not afraid to let us know, and I like that.
Right.
All right. Well, thanks for coming in. Get back out there, finish out your workout. I don't want anyone getting. I don't want Canavy coming in here yelling at us because you don't do your workout, man.
All right. Thanks for having me on.
All right, man. See you around.
All right.
One more thing before we go, and I referenced it with Jasper when he was in here, the college football playoff. That happened this week. College football passed a four-team playoff system that technically begins in 2014. So don't get excited yet. You're not going to see it this year. It's in 2014 that it begins. Those four teams will be named by a selection committee, pretty similar to what the NCAA basketball tournament does, although the NCAA basketball tournament has 68 teams. This playoff will have just four teams. Now, it's a 12-year agreement. You might have read that. And I think a lot of people think that means we're going to be locked into this four-team playoff system for the next decade plus, and that's not really the case because when you think about it, what does a contract really mean these days? If someone comes up with a better idea, a different way to do it that's going to make money for everyone involved, they're going to be able to rip up that contract and come up with a different formula and sign a new contract. So it is a 12-year deal with this four-team playoff, but don't be surprised if a few years down the line they come up with something even better and they have a new deal. I'm not sure that this is the answer for college football. A lot of fans want a playoff in college football because it's really the only major sport that people follow in America that doesn't have a true playoff. The BCS served its purpose for a long time, named a national champion, and usually did a good job, but the public and a lot of people within college football want a playoff. Now they have it, a four-team playoff. It begins in 2014. Whether you think four teams is enough, whether you think it should be eight teams or 16 teams, whatever you think it is, I think everyone agrees that this is a step in the direction of getting the right system in place for college football to name a national champion. That will be interesting to watch in seasons to come. Another quick note before we go, we're not going to be with you the next couple of weeks. It's America's birthday next week. Happy 4th of July to everyone out there listening. We're not going to be here next week, and then the week after that we'll be off too. So enjoy a couple of summer weeks without us, and we hope you come back later in July because we'll be back with more Wobcasts leading into training camp. That is it for us today. I'm Mike Wobshaw. Thanks again for listening. We'll leave you with a hit from Jimmy Eat World. Take it away. It just takes some time.